My name is Pastor Greg. I am the lead pastor here at High Point Church. If you are a visitor here today, we do communion a little bit different. The first week of every month is our Communion Sunday. And so we have our howdy time. It's a little bit different. We don't do that normally. But it's a chance to come together as a family and to worship our King, King Jesus. And I just love communion service. It's a chance to reflect and remember what Jesus did for us and for the glory of the Father. If you have your Bibles, we continue in our series in the Gospel of John. If you're a visitor here today, we exposit and go through line by line and verse by verse of God's Word. And we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have your bulletins, the scriptures that I'll be speaking with this morning are there. It's starting in verse 12. So bear with me. It's a longer passage. I'm going to plow through this passage, and by God's grace, we will all be challenged by it and encouraged. Starting in verse 12. The next day, a large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches, palm trees, and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a donkey, a young donkey, and sat on it, just as it was written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had to be done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he has done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship the feast were Greeks. So they came to Philip, who was in Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them and said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves this life loses it, and whoever hates this life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, then will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus said, Now is my soul troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come for this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood and heard it said that it had thundered, and others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. My prayer is that we would be changed by the King, by you, King Jesus, by what you did for us on the cross. We remember that, and that you rose again, and we give you glory, for you defeated the grave. And for all of us who know you and call you Lord, we say amen. Amen. What a powerful passage of Scripture we have this morning in John chapter 12, the triumphal entry. A passage of Scripture that has been seriously misconstrued in the fact that many of us, maybe those of you like me who grew up very religious, celebrate Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, the Sunday before Good Friday, as some sort of a spiritual awakening, that we are all crying out, King Jesus. But as you study this passage of Scripture, it is not a spiritual awakening that they were all of a sudden coming to, but something far different. And my prayer is that we would begin to understand that even this morning. But before I begin, I want to tell you as a meaning of an introduction, believe it or not, I used to love politics. That's a joke, right? I so desperately wanted to see my guy or my girl win an election. I did everything for that person. I made phone calls, sorry, I called you. I handed out brochures. I was such a fool. I saw something in that guy, in that girl, that I wanted to believe in them. That they were really going to do what they said they were going to do. That's such a fool. My expectations for them led me to think they would actually do what they said. Now, when God saved me on November 2nd, 2001, yes, a little over 12 years ago, yesterday was my spiritual birthday of 12 years, when God saved me, He began to change the way I thought about politics. And I began to trust a lot less in people and more in the God-man, Jesus Christ. You know, there was a radio personality that I used to listen to, and he said this, and it became a great slogan for me. It said, I no longer trust in the GOP, but the G-O-D. Now, whatever your political affiliations, here are, I can promise you, you have been left disappointed in them, have you not? Current political approval ratings would suggest that very case, as all of them are in danger of losing what they never should have gotten to begin with. Sorry, my little political rant. So we come to this morning in John chapter 12, and we see that the Jews, for 1,000 years, thousands of years, have been waiting for this Messiah to come, the King of Israel. They waited and they waited, looking for this Messiah, waiting to see if this one would be the one, because there were many false messiahs in those days. See, these Jews were expecting some great military leader, some great politician that would usher in freedom for Israel, overthrow that Roman tyranny, the government oppression that they felt. They wanted a Messiah that would give them their best life now. However, they did not expect a carpenter to be this Messiah. But time after time after time, as we've read through John, Jesus declared He is the Son of God. He is the God-man, come to die for the sins of the world. And He came. And as He's ushering Himself into Jerusalem, He rode on a donkey. Now, if you know anything of the time of the Jewish revolutions, of the Maccabean Revolution, they knew that victory was ridden on a horse, that a military conqueror, that a king would ride on a horse. What was this Jesus doing? You see, the disciples didn't understand. But yet, to fulfill scriptures, John chapter 1 verse 11 said this: He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That's the choice we all have today, don't we? Are we going to follow Jesus? See, Jesus isn't a politician. He did not have a message of a politician. So the people that would be cheering His name, thinking He was going to be king and would give them their best life now, were the same people 6 days later yelling, "Crucify Him. Crucify Him. He's not the king that I want." This morning, we need to see who Jesus is, as we do every Sunday that we come here. We sing about who Jesus is. We read about who Jesus is. And the problem is, some of you want Jesus to be something totally different. So you need to ask yourself, why do I follow Jesus? I mean, why would I follow this guy who calls himself the Son of God? Well, I think Jesus makes it pretty clear in this passage of Scripture. Let's dive right in, okay? Why does Jesus want us to follow Him? The first thing I see from verses 14, 15, and 16 is this: He is the right man, the God-man. As we just sang, God took on human form to die for the sins of the world. He is the Messiah. Jesus says, you can follow me because I am the one you're looking for. Jesus found a young donkey to fulfill the very scriptures of Zechariah 9:9. Which said, He will ride on a donkey. Jesus didn't come as a military and political leader. He came as the Savior of the world. The Jews still didn't understand it. They thought, are you going to bring the kingdom now, Jesus? In Acts chapter 1, they say the same thing. Okay, Jesus, now? Now the kingdom? Jesus says, no. Oh, He will come on a white horse. Make no mistake, He will come on a horse. But that is at the end of days and the judgment upon all man, as He does declare to everyone, whether you're a follower or not, He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We follow Jesus now because He's the right man, the God-man, the Messiah. See, oftentimes what we do is we look to our circumstance to determine whether we're going to have faith in Jesus. Whether He's really the right guy to follow will depend on my circumstances. If things are good, Jesus rocks. Things are bad, I don't like Him. I'm surely not going to follow Him. He's not the right man. So you do have a choice to follow Jesus. First Kings, Elijah said this in 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came near to all the people. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. The word Lord there is Yahweh, the personal God, Jesus Christ. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Will you answer? When Jesus declares to you he is the Messiah, will you follow him? Or will you be drawn away because of your circumstances? He didn't come the way you thought he should come. Secondly, we see in verses 20 through 26, why should you follow Jesus? Because Jesus has the right message. Now, I did some research on some of the old political slogans of our great politicians. We have ones like, let's make America great again. Read my lips. It's the economy, stupid. Yes, America can. Change we can believe in. Country first. Forward. Believe in America. I got to tell you, these slogans leave me disappointed. And looking at some of your Facebooks, you're disappointed too. They lie. Let me just say this. Forgive me, Lord. Most of them lie, cheat, steal to get where they're at. And all we're left is a cheap slogan and disappointment. You know why you follow Jesus? Because he had the right message. It's a message that cuts to your heart. To those of you who don't believe, you can't understand what Jesus is saying, but it cuts to your heart. And those of us who do trust Christ, we know that what Jesus says is right, even when we don't follow him. Look at verses 24 and 26. We see Jesus' great message, don't we? Truly, truly, Jesus says. You ready? In the Greek, it means listen up. What I'm about to say, my message, Jesus is saying, is you better listen to this. And here's Jesus' message. A message you can follow. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now let me break this down. Verse 24, Jesus is using a picture of a harvest. And those of them in the Jews that would have been listening would have understood exactly what this meant. Because it would have been around harvest time, and they knew that that very seed, that unless you plant that seed and it dies, it will not bear fruit. And so what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to die. But when I die and rise again, I will live in your life and you will bear fruit. But unless I die, your lives will never bear fruit. Never. Never. Jesus Christ, by dying and rising again, duplicates his life in those whom call him Savior. He duplicates his life in your life when you place your trust in him. See, by Jesus dying and raising again, he can come in to every follower of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit to those who believe. In verse 25, it says this. This is part of his message. If whoever loves this life loses it, and whoever hates this life whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What is Jesus' message here? Are we called to hate our lives? Walk around angry? No. What Jesus is saying is you have to disregard your life. Your life is not your own, follower of Christ. And if you want to hang on to that life, hang on because God is asking you to do something that you don't want to do? Jesus is our example. He went to the cross for us. Jesus didn't call you to your best life now. He called you to suffer like himself. And if you're here and you don't like this message, I can understand why you don't want to follow him. But I want to follow him. And if that means people hating me, if that means to sacrifice myself from other things that could cause me to stumble, then God, it's worth it. Because I believe your message. Jesus had the right message. He says, if you're going to love this life, you're never going to understand what it means to have eternal life. We are to disregard this life in this world. We are sojourners, aliens. We do not belong to this world. Those of you who follow Christ, that is. Jesus didn't call you to have a great life and job security. I promise you that. If you are a follower of Christ, he called you to suffer for his name's sake. What a great message to follow. That is not a politician's message. And it's why people don't follow Jesus. But if we are Christians, verse 26 says, we must follow Jesus and his path. He says, carry your cross because he carried his. The message of the Messiah is not a politician's message. We follow him because we believe he is the Messiah. We follow him because we believe his message. And lastly, we follow Jesus because he fulfilled his mission. I wish I could go through a little bit more in verses 27 through 36, but let me just kind of summarize this, okay? We have the ability to look at hindsight. John wrote this in 95 AD. John had the ability to look back and say, now I know what Jesus did. He was lifted up. That Greek word lifted up literally means to be physically lifted up and to be exalted. Jesus was lifted up and he was exalted on the cross. Jesus did what he promised he would do. Jesus did to fulfill the promise made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You know why you can follow Jesus? Because he fulfills his promises. The exact reason why we don't want to follow men, the reason we don't want to follow people, the reason we shouldn't be upset when our politicians screw up, because we don't follow them, we follow Christ. And if that means to suffer, if that means your guns are going to be taken away, if that means you're going to have socialism or whatever it is, it doesn't matter because we are aliens in this world. And this is not our home. This is not our home. And we can't live like it is. You know, verses 35 and 36, let me just speak to you who think and sit here and come here on a Sunday, which I rejoice that you're here. But if you're here and you've come for any length of time and God's grace, his irresistible grace is pouring out on you saying you have a choice. Verse 35 and 36 says this. Listen to Jesus. The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know what he or where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may be sons of light. And I'm here to tell you, you who do not know Christ as Savior, you don't have forever to believe in Him. You don't have forever. But you will spend forever somewhere. Jesus says He's the light. Jesus says, follow me, I am the Messiah. Jesus says, follow me, I have the right message. You're a sinner. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you and He will give you eternal life. Declare that He is Lord of your life. You will not have forever. If you think you can continue to push it off, you are cheapening God's grace. Don't cheapen His grace. Accept Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. He is the Messiah. He has the right message. And He fulfilled all His promises. And He will for you if you follow Him. Now today we have communion. And it's an opportunity for us that know Christ and call Christ Savior, Lord. An opportunity to remember what Jesus did. This is a perfect passage for that. Because I'm here to tell you, if you're here today and you have forgotten what Jesus has done and what His message is, this is a chance to tell God you're sorry. Ask Him to grant you repentance that you might turn and go back to where He wants you to be. And that's following Him. You know, what's good is it's a message that if we follow it, we will be happy. Happy, happy, happy. I don't know about you, but I want joy. In the midst of my struggles with sin, the fact that I have no condemnation in Christ causes me to rejoice in the grace of God. So when you hold that bread, you remember Jesus' sinless, perfect body. That the God-man, Jesus, was the perfect sacrifice for you. Because when you hold up Jesus' perfect life, and you put your life next to His, you fall short every time. You fall short. And it causes you to lift your hands, bow your head, and tell Jesus you want forgiveness. And the promise is, He will in no way turn you out. Those who trust and follow Him. We hold that juice as a remembrance of His blood. See, Jesus' perfect sinless life does not save you. It's necessary, but until Jesus gave His life by being sacrificed, shed His blood, then the sacrifice was complete. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Without someone innocent dying for someone guilty, there is no remission of sin. And only the God-man, only Jesus taking on flesh, can die for mankind. So as we go to communion, we remember that Jesus is the Messiah. We remember the message He declared, and we believe, and we remember He fulfilled His promises, and we rejoice. Communion is a happy time. I watch too much Duck Dynasty. I got happy on my mind all the time. Follower of Christ, we don't follow a politician. Follower of Christ, we don't follow men because they're always going to disappoint us. We follow the God-man. We follow Jesus Christ until He calls us home. That's a great life. Is that the life you want to follow? As you take time and hold the bread and hold the cup. Remember what Jesus did for you. Take time to confess sin. Confess. Maybe you need to confess that you're allowing what the world offers to get in the way of what God says you have to do. He's saying, follow me. What does that mean in your life? What is Jesus asking you to do? And then do it. By faith. By faith. We get a chance to spend time together as a family of those of us who call Christ Savior to rejoice in what He did. And those of you who have never called on Christ to save you, why wouldn't you do it today? Not because I'm saying it, because you listened to the message, because you listened and saw that He fulfilled His promises, and you know He's the Messiah. And by faith, you believe that. By faith, through grace, you believe that message. Because it's a message that cuts to your heart. Celebrate communion for the first time. Like some of you in this audience that have trusted Christ in recent times, it is a great chance to remember what Jesus did. And for those of us who have been saved for 12 years, it's a chance to remember what Jesus did and causes me to say, I want to follow you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your great message. The message of the gospel, the good news that you died and rose again. You died for the sins of mankind and you rose again to fulfill what the prophet says and victory over death. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My prayer is that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that some in this room would trust you for the first time. And those of us who do know, may we be guided by the Holy Spirit and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and the message He proclaimed. I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Now at this time, Jake's going to play a couple songs. This is how we do communion. We're going to commune together. I want you to go get your bread and go get your juice. Those of you who are followers of Christ, unless you have unrepentant sin that you need to get taken care of, then do business with God. He is faithful to forgive if you have a repentant heart. Ask that He would grant you that. But I want you to go and get your bread, go and get your juice, come back to your seat, and confess sin before a holy God. Thank Him for what He did for you. Remember what He did for you. And then I'll come back and I'll read a passage of Scripture and we will commune together as a family. Sons of the light. What a beautiful family it is. And those of you who don't know Christ, I love you. I do. I love you. And I know that God loves you more. And He so desires you to be part of His family that He went to the cross and died for you. That's a pretty loving God, right? Accept Him and partake in communion with God and God's people. Let me pray. Father, thank you again. As we go right now to communion, I pray that people do business with you. And it's for your glory. Amen.